It's an agreement aimed at implementing a peace deal. The Ethiopian government and Tigray rebels have pledged to allow humanitarian aid deliveries into the war-torn region. But will the truce hold, and is peace in northern Ethiopia possible? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I am Hashim Ahlbarra. Ethiopia's government and rebels have agreed to allow immediate humanitarian access to Tigray and other regions in the north. The pledge signed in Nairobi is the latest step towards ending 2 years of conflict. It follows last week's talks on implementing a peace deal inked at the beginning of November. Northern Ethiopia is in the grip of a severe humanitarian crisis. The UN estimates 13 million people in the Tigray, Afar and Amhara regions urgently require food aid. The war has killed tens of thousands of people and forced millions from their homes.
We have suffered untold misery over the last 2 years and still continue to suffer. The commitment we are making today is with the hope that expectations that our people's suffering will come to an end and soon. This is a very daunting task.
We want to express our full commitment for bringing peace and stability to our people and country. Therefore, we will fully dedicate ourselves to implement the Pretoria Agreement and this declaration.
The Tigray People's Liberation Front dominated Ethiopian politics for two decades until Abiy Ahmed came to power in 2018. In November 2020, the Prime Minister ordered a military operation against the group, accusing it of attacking military bases, something the TPLF denied. The rebels retaliated and the fighting intensified, spreading into the neighbouring Afar and Amhara regions. Eritrean troops were also involved, backing Ethiopian soldiers. Several truces and temporary ceasefires were declared and collapsed during the nearly 2 years of conflict. The UN, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have accused both parties of atrocities and possible war crimes. Let's bring in our guest in Stockholm is Tekle Gebremichael, Associate Editor of TIGAT, a platform that documents the war in Tigray. In London, Martin Plaut, Senior Research Fellow at the Institute of Commonwealth Studies. And in Birmingham is Bizona Getachew Yemenu, Teaching Fellow at the University of Birmingham. Welcome to the programme. Tekle, there are accusations and counter-accusations from both parties, the Tigrayans and the government, about the access that has been granted to the humanitarian trucks into Tigray. It doesn't seem to be happening, according to the Tigrayans.
Well, what we know is that the Tigrayans were in very, very uncertain terms told in South Africa that if they didn't sign the deal, humanitarian aid would be continued to be withheld as it had been for the past 2 years. Essentially, the Ethiopian regime and the Eritrean regime joined hands and used starvation as a weapon of war, and that was held against them, against the Tigrayan representatives in South Africa. The reason now we have come to learn they were forced to sign the deal was because they were told by the observers, by the facilitators of the AU and the Americans, that if they didn't sign the deal, starvation would continue to be used as a weapon of war. So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And they signed because they wanted aid to get into starving people. People are dying from starvation. From multiple reports, we have been able to understand that there is immense suffering in Tigray. But even though they signed under that enormous pressure, we know that aid hasn't got into to Tigray until today. So nothing had changed in terms of actually aid getting to Tigray, even though the very mm-hmm. reason that Tigrayan representatives signed the deal that is otherwise extremely unfavorable to Tigray was to make sure that aid got into Tigray. But it's extraordinary that the AU and the Americans and the other people who facilitated the deal mm-hmm. would really use the withholding of aid as a bargaining chip. So that's where we are.
OK, Martin, it seems that the idea of starting with the humanitarian aspect of the agreement is to build trust and confidence between the two warring sides. But after 2 years of blockade and starvation, the WHO chief is saying that many people are dying from treatable diseases and many are dying from starvation. Is this an indication that the agreement itself remains fragile?
Well, I think until the aid actually begins to flow, and we have no indication yet that it is flowing, then certainly it will remain fragile because, as Tekle has just made clear, this is one of the main reasons that the Tigrayans signed. But we have to see some kind of proof. And that's why it's important that not only the aid goes in, but we should have some independent journalists going in as well, who can then report from the ground and say, this is what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Bizuna, why is it that on one hand you get a sense from Addis Ababa that they have made major gains in the agreement, but at the same time they seem to be extremely cautious, careful when it comes to channeling aid and allowing aid into Tigray? What is happening?
Yeah, I think both parties have gained a lot from signing the peace deal. The war has been devastating and millions of people were starving because of the conflict. And this conflict should get solution in one way or the other. And they finally agreed to resolve the issue peacefully, which is a huge achievement in the continent by just looking at the deal, even if you know its implementation is crucial. But on the other side, in terms of delivering aid, the government reported that the aid started flowing to the region. However, there are parts that are still under the TPLF control, and the disarming and demobilization and the reintegration has not been completed. The two groups, military leader, signed the detailed procedure of disarming and reintegration only 2 days ago. And I think it is very early to evaluate the amount of the flow of aid. But we need to also remember that there are a lot of issues, and convincing each soldiers and passing down the command needs some time, even from the TPLF, considering that they are feeling that the deal was bad from their perspective. This may need some days to convince.
Okay.
And one of the negotiators, Geta Churanda, only back to Mekelle today. And I think it's too early to flag that there is a problem or that the deal has not delivered anything. Hopefully, they need to work a lot in order to deliver what the agreement says.
Tekle, the Tigrayans had a set of conditions in the past about starting political talks with Addis Ababa. They seem to have decided to abandon most of those demands for the sake of having aid trickling into their own areas. Does it really explain the fact that the Tigrayans were willing to go for those massive, massive setbacks when it comes to signing this agreement just for the sake of humanitarian catastrophe on the ground?
Well, I don't think they have abandoned their demand, Hashan. I think what happened is when they went to South Africa, they found out that the cards were stacked against them because they were told that whatever deal was offered to them, they had to sign, because if they didn't, aid wouldn't get in. So they were not in a position to demand the other political questions that they had before. They had to sign in the faint hope that some aid would trickle into Tigray. And what they did, what I think, and we don't really know because they haven't been really speaking openly about why they signed the deal, but I think what happened is that they put the other questions in the back burner and they signed in the hope that some aid would get in. So that seems to be the thinking on the part of the Tigrayan delegates. But I don't think they have abandoned the demands, because they are basic ones, the demands. They say that the Tigray's territorial integrity must be respected, constitution must be respected, perpetrators of crimes must be held to account. So they are basic ones, the demands. I don't think they would be in a position to drop them.
Okay.
If I could just add one point to the Ethiopian, to the point that the Ethiopian guest raised. A senior government official was yesterday caught lying. He said that aid was flowing to Tigray, but immediately humanitarian workers in Ethiopia said that that was actually categorically a lie because they have been banned and they still continue to be banned from delivering aid. So the claim that aid is getting to Tigray is a complete categorical lie, and this is something that humanitarian workers have been repeatedly saying. And one more point. There is Eritrea. There's the question of Eritrea.
We will talk. I'll get back to you.
Particularly,
I'll promise you I'll get back to you when we talk about later in the program about Eritrea. Martin, you have two narratives here. You have the Tigrayans who say, no, we've managed to secure what we wanted, although the diaspora is talking about an act of humiliation. You have the Addis Ababa, on the other hand, which says, as long as we manage to secure an agreement that does not talk about the Tigrayan government, does not refer to the 2020 election in Tigray, and talks about the need to integrate the Tigrayans into the Ethiopian military establishment, that's a massive political gain for Abiy Ahmed.
I agree with you. I think it was for the Tigrayans to give up on the election which they held, which was frankly just as accurate and fair as the Ethiopian election which took place later, which was so rigged that the European Union refused to send monitors to it. But there's one thing that is really important. In the agreement with the combatants, which was signed 2 days ago, it first of all, it recognizes the Tigray armed combatants, not the TPLF. So it actually begins to say, yes, there are people who are not necessarily party, but are the army and those who are we're dealing with. The second point is, let me just read you item 2C. It says, upon disengagement, the federal authorities shall assume federal responsibilities in accordance with the Constitution for all areas, including the resumption of services. If that is the case, then frankly, it's not up to the TPLF or anybody else to let the aid in. It's up to the federal authorities. That is what they have signed.
Bizuna, you can win a war, you can win a conflict, you can manage to use your own leverage to salvage whatever you can from a political agreement. But don't you think that the biggest challenge facing Abiy Ahmed in the near future is to win the hearts and minds of people in Tigray after all the atrocities committed against them?
Yeah, the most important thing is to build trust, both between the two parties and between the leader of the federal government and the Tigray people. At the same time, for this conflict, I don't think it is just one party that is responsible. The crimes and atrocities have been committed by both parties. So therefore, if we have to blame, we have to blame both of them. And it is not easy for the federal government as well to reintegrate the Tigrayan population into the Ethiopian state. But the problem was not between the people, but it was between the political leaders, and the military engagement were between the soldiers. So it's not easy for both parties and the TPLF as well. If it wants to remain the representative of the Tigray people, there must be a mechanism to renew its commitment to the people of the region. But at the same time, opposition parties in the region also need to do something to engage actively in the politics, because all parties have bad record regarding how they are delivering their promises to the public. So it's not easy to rebuild.
Tikla, you spoke earlier about the Eritrean troops who were fighting along with the Ethiopian army in Tigray. This was a sticking point, to the point where in South Africa there was an insistence on avoiding using the term Tigrayan forces and referring instead to foreign involvement. Where does it leave the Tigrayan in the future when it comes to dealing with Eritrean troops?
Well, so In the agreement signed in Nairobi, as Martin said, they say that non-END forces must leave the region. So they use a very ambiguous language because they couldn't bring themselves to mention Eritrea, and they couldn't say Eritrea must leave Tigray because that would have offended Eritrea. And because of the domineering role that Eritrea has been having over Ethiopia, Ethiopia is now not in a position to assert itself over Eritrea. So they are in a bit of a pickle, Ethiopia, when it comes to Eritrea. But where that is lived to Tigray, I think the one demand that Tigrayans would say would be for Ethiopia to openly say that Eritrea should leave Tigray, and that if it's refused, the Tigray forces would be in a position to deal with Eritrea alone. That would be the position of the Tigrayans. But one point that the Ethiopian guest said, if I could mention, he said that all parties have committed crimes. And to a degree, that is true, but the crimes committed by the Ethiopian and Eritrean forces are materially and qualitatively different. Even according to the UN report, and the UN has been, on the whole, sympathetic to Ethiopia, but even according to the UN report, the report says that Ethiopian and Eritrean forces have committed crimes against humanity, and war crimes, whereas nothing of the sort has been committed by Tigrayan forces. So to say that all parties have committed crimes is wrong. There's a huge difference to the type and degree of crimes committed. One final point, in terms of the Abiy regime and the Tigrayan people, I think too much water has passed under the bridge. I don't think there is any way that the two parties could reconcile and come to to one side. I think the only way is how do they go their own ways. I think to the extent that there needs to be a discussion, it's about how should the separation be made in a peaceful manner.
Okay.
I don't think there is an opportunity for them to reconcile.
Martin, if we are to talk about how to move forward as far as the agreement is concerned, now let's talk about the mechanisms of monitoring and verification, which are going to be solely under the responsibility of small units under the umbrella of the African Union. Is it going to work? Does it hold any sort of legitimacy, any political weight?
I mean, it has legitimacy. The problem is it's so small, it's going to be extremely difficult to see how this works. And I think they're going to have to rely a lot on satellite evidence, which the United Nations certainly has, and I presume is making available to the to both sides, so that they can see what's going on. But I mean, the point really is not only the removal of the Eritreans from Tigray, but if you look at the other bit of the agreement, it says disarmament of heavy weapons will be done concurrently with the withdrawal of foreign and non-Ethiopian national defense forces from the region. That would suggest that both the Eritreans must leave and the Amhara and Fano forces must also leave from Western Tigray, because if everything's going to be done by the constitution, then Western Tigray is part of Tigray. That's what the constitution says right now. Mm-hmm. That's what must be required. So how is that going to be achieved? Very, very difficult to see how that's done and very difficult to monitor.
Bizuna, are we likely to see a prime minister of Ethiopia saying that it's about time not only to, as you've been talking earlier, about the need to set aside those differences and move forward, but to recognise the fact that there's been something terribly wrong over the last 2 years. To address it, we have to say we made mistakes and we have to acknowledge that the Tigrayans won't accept anything less than something like an autonomy, the need for themselves to own their own fate?
Regarding, let me start from the autonomy point of view. I don't think there is autonomy demand clearly presented by the Tigray representing group who negotiated in Pretoria and Nairobi as well. The most important thing here is how to go forward. One of the panelists, Ethiopian panelists, mentioned that huge part of crime were committed by the federal government, soldiers, etc. But I don't think, unless a proper examination is conducted by an independent body, it is very difficult and destructive to pass judgment. You know, this magnitude has been committed by that.
By the way, on that particular, just for our for the sake of our viewers, the U.S. said that 500,000 people were killed in the conflict. The European's top foreign envoy, Joseph Borrell, said that 100,000 of people were killed. A United Nations-backed investigation commission accused all sides of committing abuses, atrocity, but also accused the government in Addis Ababa of using starvation as a weapon of war. And they also accused the Eritrean army of committing atrocities against people in Tigray. Just for the sake of the record, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing this to attention. The whole point about autonomy is, so the agreement is that let's go back to pre-war scenario and let's respect the constitution. So we know what pre-war scenario was in terms of geography, in terms of territorial consent, territorial contests. So the TPLF will continue as a legitimate political party, considering that it will be delisted from terrorist list, and it will start engaging like any other political party. So pre-war scenario was, there was no regionally conducted election, because conducting election is only federal mandate according to the constitution. So the whole point is going back before what was happened and then re-engage in a formal way. So in this regard, there is no autonomy, or autonomy has been granted for all regions of Ethiopia. They have autonomy up to secession according to Article 39 of the constitution. So if the Tigray people want that, they can present through following constitutional procedure. And I don't think that's an issue at this point. The issue is trying to re-engage and reintegrate the region into Ethiopia.
I have other issues to discuss with you, and I appreciate if you can give me some very short answers, if you don't mind. Let me start with Tigray. Do you think it's about time for the TPLF itself to reinvent itself? Because in a way or another, they started with an adventure and it's backfiring on them massively.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's true that the TPLF needs a lot of reinvention on itself. I think it has to bring itself to modern times. I think it has to be more inclusive in Tigray. I think it has to start working with opposition parties in Tigray. But in terms of the demands that it has been making when, as far as the war is concerned, I don't think there is anything that the TPLF could have done, because they are making very simple demands, which is that whatever happens in Tigray, what kind of government gets elected in Tigray is entirely up to the people of Tigray. And the federal regime doesn't have any mandate coming to Tigray and making change and forcing people to elect one party or another. So, it must reinvent itself, but not as far as its dealings with EKP is concerned.
Martin, you would have thought, everybody would have thought that the EU and the Americans would, with the leverage they have, would be signatories of the agreement, or at least would have a say. It doesn't seem to be the case, leaving the EU itself as the sole guarantor of the whatever happens in the future. Is that a good idea?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, but then don't forget the UN and the EU and the US were not signatories. They witnessed what happened. They were not signatories. And really what we need to see now is a place in which Tigray can feel itself comfortable and secure within Ethiopia. It's then up to them, as the colleague from Addis was putting it, to use the constitution, if that is what they want, to seek separation, if they want it, under Article 39. But, it really needs a lot of goodwill on both sides.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
Bizuna, when you look at the very heart of the agreement, cessation of hostilities, restoration of humanitarian aid, re-establishment of federal authority over the Tigray and the disarming of the TPLF fighters, there is absolutely no way this is going to happen today, tomorrow, or even in the near future. This explains why many people are really cautious about this agreement. Is this a same consensus in Addis Ababa?
No, I don't think narrating this something as it is, as impossible, is not correct, because this is something possible. Nobody assumed that they would reach such agreement in 6-7 days negotiation, but it happened, and the progress is well, and in Kenya they also signed agreement regarding how to implement. So it is possible to solve these conflicts peacefully. Mm-hmm. And some of the services, for example, banking has resumed in some parts, according to government report, about seven areas in Tigray where the federal government controlled. So step-by-step procedure, but it should be fast and supported. All international actors should support the process.
Bitsuna Getashoy, Emmanuel Martin, Plow, Tikle, Gibri Michael, I really appreciate your insight. Looking forward to talking to you in the future. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com, for further discussion. Go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. For me, Hashim Ahlbada, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.